And I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank God. And how are you?
I'm fine.
That's good. You know, we're coming up to the real crunch time of Pesach.
We are almost there.
You know what they say? They say no matter how much you prepare before, somehow you always come down to the last wire. It's like always a rushing, the last minute.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Especially with Pesach.
Everything
has to be ready and prepared and clean and...
And cooked.
And cooked.
It's amazing.
And no chametz.
That's right. It's you know, I speak to so many different people, Jews, non-Jews, and people are so amazed how much we work and we do things just for 1 week. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful.
So Passover part two.
Passover part two. You know, I'm getting this question all the time. I had it this morning as well in Minyan. And, you know, people ask me, say, you know, I have so much chametz in my house. What am I supposed to do? You know, am I supposed to throw it away? Am I supposed to eat it all? What am I supposed to do? People don't know.
Say it.
Right. People don't know that when it comes to Pesach, you don't need to throw away all your chametz. You just need to put it in a cupboard, close it away, and sell it through the rabbi that has a contract document that we sell it, get rid of all the chametz, and it doesn't belong to us anymore. And then right after Pesach, we reacquire, we repurchase back all the chametz from the person that it was sold to, and we have our chametz. So I just want to set the record straight for a lot of people that are either confused or they don't know. You do not have to throw away all your chametz from your house.
Yeah.
That's something that you don't need to do.
It's like putting it in a warehouse.
That's right. You know, you just put it in a cupboard, you close it, you know, you put a sign on the chametz so no one makes the mistake of opening it, and that's it. And it's out of the sight of the person, out of your eyes. You know, there's a positive Torah commandment to remove chametz before the time that one is forbidden to eat it. And when it is referring to this, it's referring to that you cannot have any pleasure from it anymore, you don't see it anymore, and that is by doing it, how do we do it? By selling the chametz. Also, we need to nullify the chametz. In other words, in my mind, that we consider the chametz like dust, and that it is no longer what I would want, it's not in my possession anymore, and through that, we don't have those issues anymore of having chametz in our house.
It's like a contract.
Exactly. It's exactly like a contract. And, you know, tonight being the night before the Seder, before the Pesach Seder, we search for the chametz. Now, obviously, your house is going to be so clean that we're not going to find the chametz. So the person might ask, well, what's the point of me really searching the chametz? And the Kabbalistic teachings, the rabbis of the Kabbalah teach us that it's not necessarily only searching for the physical chametz that we might find in our homes that, you know, we might have missed or whatever, but it's more also searching our spiritual chametz, anything that is in us that can rise, our egos, everything that is about me and not how I can help someone else or do something else. We've got to search that too. And try and get rid of those aspects as well. And interestingly enough, when we search for the chametz tonight, we either use a candle, and some people are scared to use a candle because, fire and all that. I'm sorry, what did you say?
There are some people that use flashlights.
Absolutely. And so therefore, we can use flashlights, because if you think about it, flashlights nowadays are strong enough to what the rabbis mean, in other words, for searching the chametz. And why do we search with the candle? Is because we are searching not only for the chametz itself, but also ourselves. And by the light of one, quote-unquote, candle of God, the soul of the man, that's how a person gets rid of our chametz. Now, tomorrow, interestingly enough, is the day of getting ready for Pesach, the actual day, and we have a custom that the firstborn sons fast, and this commemorates the miracle which God spared the firstborn Jewish sons from the plague when he struck down the firstborn sons of the Egyptians.
Yeah,
exactly. So now it's very interesting because we don't have to specifically fast, in other words, no eating, because the rabbis established that if you go and become part of a siyum, a part of a ending of a tractate or of a set of Mishnah or a tractate of the Talmud, if you part of the, if you you hear the ending of that, someone that has learned it all year round, that is a very, very happy joyous occasion. Normally you have a big meal with it. So therefore, if you go and fulfill that mitzvah of hearing that ending of the tractate, then you're exempt. You do not have to fast. And now then you can eat as a regular day. It's interesting, you know, when it comes towards the Pesach, tomorrow night, and we talked about this last week, why we drink the four cups of wine and why we recline, because we're free. We also have three matzot that we put on the seder plate, which represent the three levels of Jews. We have the Kohen, we have the priest, the Levite, and the Israelite, and that's why we do three matzot on the actual seder table. Interesting, you know, we're not going to go through all the Pesach seder again, but you know, one of the highlights of Pesach is for the children, especially, is the Afikoman, is going to look and search for the Afikoman, and the Afikoman is the representation of the Paschal sacrifice, which was eaten in the Holy Temple. Obviously, we cannot eat it today, but we do that in a commemoration for that. And why do we do that as well? The same thing as we discussed last week, to be able to get people to ask the children to ask, why are we doing such a thing? And right after what we're doing, the Afikoman, what do we say? We do grace after meal, so on and so forth. But then we say next year in Jerusalem. Why don't we say next year in Jerusalem earlier? We say next year in Jerusalem towards the end. Because right after we've eaten the Afikoman, special last piece of matzah that the kids have found, we get that taste and we say, you know what, we want to be able to be next year in Jerusalem. We want to be able to be ready that we are ready that God should be able to bring us out of this exile and take us to Israel. It's interesting. A lot of people don't know that, but the first night of Pesach is called the night that is guarded. It's the night of anticipation and waiting for God. Guarded and anticipated this night when he would fulfill his God promise to take the Jews out of the land of Egypt. Interesting is that normally when you say, you know, the Shema Yisrael, before a person goes to bed, and you say the whole section of the three verses of the Shema, it is customary that on the first night of Pesach, we only say the first one. Why? Because this is the night, that God is watching over us, not that he doesn't watch over us all the time, but this is even more, that he watches over us even more. The Talmud, the Gemara, says something very interesting, that though we are enjoined to drink four cups of wine at the Seder, and this has a potentially, could have maybe a little bit of a bad effect on some people, we may do so because this is a night that is guarded. God watches over us, so nothing bad is going to happen to us because we've done these mitzvot, these commandments of drinking the wine and so on and so forth. And in certain places that you go, you know, places that people live, it's become customary to leave the doors open. that we may go out to greet Elijah without delay, that we don't have to start unlocking the doors. We just go straight, we leave the door open. Why? Because this is a night of guarding. Now, I'm not telling everyone leave your doors open in winter and all that, because I, even though I have insurance, I don't want anyone coming to sue me. You know, the rabbi said you should leave your doors open.
So open a little window.
Right, you leave a little window. And it doesn't necessarily only mean open, that you leave the whole wide door open. You know, you can leave it unlocked, still open. But
if he will come, he will make it in.
That is correct. Elijah the prophet will definitely make it in. And, you know, it's very, very interesting. Everyone has, you know, I was talking to a rabbi, because I had a lot of questions. People were asking questions on certain customs and this and that of Pesach. And what he told me, and it's so right, and, you know, what you always think about is Pesach, everyone does so many different customs. There are the main halachot, the main laws that a person, regardless of who you are, has to do. You know, whether you be Orthodox, non-Orthodox, this, that, it makes no difference. You know, we drink we drink the four cups of wine, we eat the matzah, we eat the maror, we don't eat bread, we don't eat chametz. Those are biblical commandments that everyone has to do, regardless of who you are. Then there comes the chumrot, the things that we take upon ourselves. You know, that we're not going to eat this, and we're only going to eat that. We won't eat oil, we only use chicken fat. We won't use sugar, we'll only boil the sugar. We won't use potato starch, we'll only use this type of thing. Everyone's got a million different chumros, different stringencies they put upon themselves. And people have to remember something, that we're not allowed, and we shouldn't tell someone, how are you doing something like this? If I don't do this, how can you do something like that? How are you eating this? I don't eat this in my house. People have to remember that Pesach is the only holiday that everything, a lot of it, is based on customs. And the fact that I might do something and you, Ilan, do not do that does not make you or me, whichever one it is, any worse or any better. It's a custom that we took upon ourselves. You know, people, be careful that they don't do anything on their matzah. You know, they eat the matzah plain, they don't put no cheese, no avocado, no nothing, pizza, nothing. Why? Because they're scared. Maybe there's a little bit of flour, and if there's water coming, it's going to rise. Is that a halacha? No, absolutely not. People do it for themselves. That's something I think that is very, very important. People need to be able to remember that Passover is probably one of the only holidays that there are so many customs that that we can't look at someone else differently. You know, we prepare our vessels for Passover. Pots and dishes and utensils. Most people have second sets of dishes.
For Passover,
they take up, you know, even nicer dishes. You know, it says that on Passover, you're supposed to take out all the beautiful chinaware and the goblets and everything. Why? Because we're literally kings. We're free people. We were free from Egypt. And, you know, if you don't have a second set of utensils, you don't have a second set of cutlery and china and all that, certain things could be kosher that could be then used for Passover. I'm not going to say how to do it now or state it, because every case is individually different. If someone does have a question, can definitely call me or email me, and I'll try and answer to the best of my ability. But it's amazing the beauty and the complexity of what we do for the holiday of Passover, to literally show that we are really, really true, free people. And that's just about really... Oh, one more thing. We burn, and the removal of our chametz is done tomorrow. We burn all the leftover chametz that we have in our possession. Again, this is not your whole household.
Yeah.
This is whatever you have found when you were searching for the Pesach things. Yes, tonight.
It's not like Baomer. It's something symbolic.
Exactly. And just two very, very, very important times. Tomorrow, which is Friday, April 3rd, is the first day, the eve of the first day of Passover. We in Windsor, we are allowed to eat chametz until 11:27. After 11:27, Passover of the chametz official time starts. You cannot eat chametz anymore, as well as we need to make sure that all the chametz that we have, we are going to burn before 12:31.
And so, we are talking about 11:27 a.m.
Correct, and 12:31 p.m. Those are the times that must be adhered to, because those are biblical
rules.
Times that once those times pass, the prohibition of chametz fall into place, and we cannot eat chametz anymore. So I want to wish all of our listeners a wonderful, happy, kosher Pesach with the family. You should enjoy it. Get the kids to ask a lot of questions. It's a family-oriented holiday. And we should go really, from this Passover, be really true, free people and go into the land of Israel with the Messiah, with Mashiach, that the world should be peaceful. There should be no more wars. There should be no more anti-Semitism. There should be no more... Everyone should be able to live in peace and harmony, and there will be no more wars against the Jews, for the Jews, for the Christians, doesn't for any people.
Global peace.
Exactly. So that's what we should pray for at this Passover Seder.
Rabbi, I want to wish you Chag Sameach.
You too. Thank you. Yusuf.
And good luck with the first Seder, first community Seder.
Thank you. You too. And enjoy all your guests. And we'll talk, God willing.
Thank you.
Be well. Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach and Shabbat Shalom.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.